Hey there, I'm Wendy Vaughn, sales success coach. Now, they call me the queen of predictable sales results. Well, because the easy formulas I share create sustainable, predictable results for my clients. And I am so glad that you've tuned in to today's episode of the Selling Made Easy Show, because this show is all about inspiration, not just in demystifying the client getting process known as sales, but also in peering through the lens of guest entrepreneurs who are blazing their own trails. And those trails have probably included a few unexpected roadblocks, maybe even having to overcome fears or blocks about selling. Now, I believe everyone has their zone of genius, their superpower that's a gift to others, including you. Now, for me, after 22 years of outperforming my peers in sales results, well, it's almost an X-ray vision that I have when it comes to finding and fixing any sales blind spots within entrepreneurs that are unknowingly causing clients to slip away. And with today's guest, her zone of genius is her ability to help entrepreneurs turn their vision for their business into a reality so they can live their bucket list now and make a big impact. So I am super excited to introduce Sherry Kaufelt. Now, as founder and CEO of Results Partner Business Coaching and Consulting, Sherry partners with professional women who have left the sure thing of a paycheck to make a huge difference doing their own thing as an entrepreneur. As a business coach for over 20 years, she is fiercely committed to supporting these service-based entrepreneurs to build simple, profitable businesses, all while designing a business that allows them to work when they want, from where they want, with clients they love. Well, welcome, Sherry. I am so excited to have you as my guest today.
Oh, thank you, Wendy. I'm so glad to be here.
Yeah, and I just love how you're helping women who have taken that leap and are striving to turn what I call their zones of genius, right, into their own businesses. So I can't wait to hear more about this and the work you're now doing.
Oh, I can't wait to share it. I just live and breathe this every day.
I can tell by your enthusiasm. Well, Sherry, exactly what was the inspiration or tipping point that prompted you to start your own coaching practice?
Well, Wendy, I started out my career after college in corporate. And for any of those folks out there that have been in corporate world, it was okay. It actually treated me pretty well. But after 13 years doing that, I just didn't feel like I was making a difference. I couldn't take another day of sitting in meetings and talking about what we're going to do and dealing with that politics that you get to deal with corporate. And
Right.
I literally could remember the day just sitting there saying, there's got to be more than this. And I always knew that at some point I wanted to own my own business. But I didn't really know what it looked like, had no idea what I was going to do and, where to go from there. So the tipping point really for me was the friend that went to a conference and had the option to go see an executive coach. And she literally called me from this conference and said, I know what you need to do. You need to be a coach. And
Okay.
that was the start of it. That was got me
Wow.
looking into coaching and what it was like and doing the training. And 20 years later, here I am.
Oh wow, that's fantastic. I love that. I mean, you knew deep down though there was something you were meant for that was beyond that corporate role, which is obviously you were very successful in that role and making a big difference, but something inside you said, "Ah, there's more, there's more." And you kept asking that question, it sounds like, and then your friend was the was the one that just brought it to you, saw that within you.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's great. I love that. So as I brought you into the interview here, I mentioned that you've been doing this work for 20 years. I think you just mentioned that too, which is really impressive. And I know that you've seen a lot of change out there through the various different economies and whatnot, but has your business vision or mission evolved during that time?
Oh, absolutely. All of us evolve, right? I mean,
Right.
every day is a different day. But in 20 years, I really have had the opportunity to see in the coaching industry all kinds of different variations of business models and the ups and downs of what happens in any industry. Of course, when I started in coaching as an industry was a baby. You know,
Yeah.
you ask somebody if somebody asked you what you did and you said you were a coach, they said, what sport?
Yeah, exactly.
Now
Soccer.
nowadays there's a coach in every corner, right?
Yeah.
So in 20 years, I've had different business models and different kinds of clients. But for the most part, I come back to, you know, what that vision is and what I really wanted to do with my life, what I wanted my lifestyle to look like, and who I wanted to impact to design that business model.
Right.
And in fact, you know, in fact, 3 years ago, I probably had my biggest change in vision where I decided I wanted to travel full time.
Wow.
And I'd always love to travel.
Okay. So wait a second. Travel full time and have your own business.
Exactly. Because right. I wasn't ready to give up my business. And, right. and here's the funny part. It's not so funny. It's funny looking back on it now. It wasn't so funny at the time.
Right.
I teach vision as the place that you start everything from. And most importantly, your business and how your business has to fit into your vision of your lifestyle, mm-hmm. not your business taking over your lifestyle. Right. Mm-hmm. And yet here I was writing my vision letter, which I do every year and work with my clients to do. And once again, saying I'm going to travel full time and yet not really doing it.
And uh-oh.
Yeah. And like, I call it that knock upside the head moment because I felt so frankly out of integrity.
Right.
That here I was teaching my clients, you know, live your bucket list now and start with your vision. And I had created a business that relied on the time at live speaking and live networking. Mm-hmm. And if I left for a month, my leads dried up.
Right. Right.
So that was a huge change in my business vision. And I literally, in the space of about 7-8 months, totally reshifted my marketing strategies, went from 80% offline leads to 80% online leads, sold my house, packed up my possessions, was traveling full time. In fact, when the pandemic hit, I was in New Zealand and was planning on being in New Zealand and Australia for 6 months. So so that was definitely, and this isn't true as an entrepreneur, you get to be adaptable.
Oh yeah. That's, I think, one of the criteria you have to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. You definitely have to be, agile and problem solver and that kind of thing. So
absolutely.
Yeah, well, I love that. I mean, it is so important to honor what we're teaching. Right. And you yourself walked your talk, you know, and you called yourself out. It's like, wait a second here. I'm not doing what I tell my clients. So I need to just do it.
Exactly.
Yeah. I love that moment of clarity and then going all in and probably has made you more effective as a coach, right? Because
absolutely
you can more confidently speak from your heart and say, look, this is what I did. And because this is my vision for myself, it's not your vision. It doesn't have to be everybody's vision, but honoring who you are as one of the elements. So yeah, I love
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Have there been any big roadblocks or besides the pandemic or challenges that you've had to overcome along the way?
Absolutely. I mean, there are always challenges. You know, it's kind of what makes business fun and a challenge some days.
Right.
The two challenges that I think have impacted me most in my business career or journey, and I think probably impact a lot of us. Number one's overwhelm. All of us struggle as business owners. There's so much to do. You and I have been doing this for a long time, so we know it doesn't matter how hard you work, you're never going to get it all done. Mm-hmm. Doesn't make it any easier when you're in it and feeling that overwhelm. And I work day by day to stay out of perfectionism and stay into what I call the rule of three, focusing on only three things so that I can keep that overwhelm at bay. So that's one of the challenges I think that has been always present as an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. And then the other one is imposter syndrome. You know, I mentioned I've been doing this for 20 years, so I've had all these different business models, and virtually every time that you make a big shift, I think as a business owner, as a coach, it's difficult not to have that little bit of imposter syndrome come down. And by imposter syndrome, what I mean is that feeling of who am I to do this?
Yeah, right.
You know, what are people going to think if I decide to pack up all my possessions and travel full time?
Mm-hmm.
So every bit of business iteration, you know, I have had a little bit of that imposter syndrome come in and had to overcome that and really be able to get past it,
sure.
you know, as an entrepreneur.
Right. Yeah, it is. It is pervasive. It seems to rear its head in various variations. And it's interesting for me to think, okay, 20 years of experience, right? You know, you've got more than enough. And not to say that you're having any of those thoughts now, it was during the journey, but I'll bet when you got your, you know, you took your job within the corporation and here it's a big thriving corporation that you're a part of. I doubt if you ever doing the job that you were doing within that corporation ever felt imposter syndrome, right?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I think that maybe.
Oh, really? You know, okay.
I go back to things like, you know, I was the youngest vice president and the only woman in the department I was in.
Okay. So that, and yeah. So that does...
I think it even showed up in, I think it's a common, it's part of being human.
Yeah, it is part of playing big, I think, you know, yeah. Like that, you obviously were playing big in that role, vice president and the only woman to hold that role. So you were scrutinized. And so that, yes, that feeling of needing to prove yourself, needing to, you know, okay, no, I've got this. And then the inner voices are saying, do you really?
Well, yeah. So. And I think that to your point, I think that what matters is how you handle it.
Yes. Yeah.
Because we all have, whether it's imposter syndrome or overwhelm or, you know, fears, doubt, and overwhelm, the three biggest enemies of entrepreneurs. We all have it in our life. It's how we respond to it that makes the difference.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. And I love the little nugget you shared as far as focus only on three things at any given time to deal with the overwhelm sense of things. So yeah, that's very, very helpful because there are a lot of different things that do seem to come up when you're starting a new business, especially for those who are used to doing a role as an employee where, you know, it's very compartmentalized. So yeah, great insight.
And it's always harder to sell ourselves than it is somebody else or something else.
Oh, completely. Yeah. I guess that's where my conversation was going when you were working for another corporation that had its presence in the market and already had the success. And you were a part of that bigger picture. For most people, they just have that sense of, oh, well, you know, confidence because they're a part of a bigger picture that is already proven. And when you launch into your own business, it's you. You know, there's no bigger picture that you're part of. You are the picture. And so that's what typically that exposure is what frequently creates that imposter syndrome. But so yeah, very, very interesting. And obviously, Sherry, you're an expert at helping women entrepreneurs really, you know, take their businesses to that next exciting level of profitability. But I'm curious, how do you feel about the client enrollment or sales part of being in business? Now, this is a very different skill set. Do you have any challenges or frustrations with this important part of growing a successful business?
Of course. I wouldn't be honest if I didn't say I did.
Right.
I will tell you that today I love the enrollment process. I love having the conversations because it's my nature to be a problem solver. And I love meeting new people. And so while I had all the challenges that probably we all have when we're starting out, when I started doing one-on-one calls, I still love them. And even today, it's probably one of my favorite parts about my business. Having said that, the thing that I would say today is still most challenging for me is being too much of a problem solver and wanting to coach too much in a sales enrollment conversation versus serving, adding value, but also leaving enough of a gap that when you make the offer for somebody to work with you, you've left them wanting enough that they want to say yes. Mm. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah, totally. And you're definitely not alone in that. I think that's a common situation that, you know, coaches fall into because that's what they do. They coach.
Exactly. You know?
And we want to show up authentically. And that's just, you know, what we love to do is coach. So well, I'd love to give you a few insights around maybe how to prevent that from happening in a way that still feels in alignment with you.
I would love that.
Okay. So two things come to thought for me. And, you know, one is, of course, how is the call set up? You know, what is the intention? What are people expecting when they have that conversation with you? Because there are lots of different ways that people, you know, encourage or invite somebody to have a conversation with them, right? And so it just depends on what the intention is that you're conveying and what the expectations are of your prospective clients, and to make sure that there's congruency around the fact that if you are going to include some coaching, there will also be maybe a game plan or, you know, next steps or something that allows you to then feel in integrity to take the conversation into talking about making more of an impact with the work that you're doing, you know, versus just, okay, it's a coaching call. And then, oh, by the way, you know, I also offer this. So as long as there's that alignment, right? Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And asking for permission, it comes up for me.
Yeah. And then, so when you're in the call, this is the interesting thing that happens because this is our zone of genius, you know, whatever we're having the conversation around, it's so easy for us to just rattle these things off or solve these problems. It's just like nothing, but keeping in mind that our ideal client is really a babe in the woods, right? One little bitty bit of information is significant for them. And so it's so easy for us to, you know, just open up the faucet and just like let the water run in the tub, you know, and it does create that feeling of, even though we don't want that, of overwhelm, because you are like, oh, well, we can, oh, that's an easy fix. Oh, well, we can do that. And that's an easy fix. And they're just like in a windstorm because the information is really so impactful, but for us, it's just so common. And so shoring that up in your mind, almost at the beginning of the call, before you have the conversation, you know how pilots, they have this checklist before they take off, you know, they have,
right,
even though they've flown the plane hundreds, if not thousands of times, they go through this pre-flight checklist. Well, I would encourage you to have a similar checklist in front of you that keeps you connected with the fact that you're a genius and they're at the infant level, and to keep the information simple. And then the other thing is, though, when you are having the conversation with them, illuminate that, okay, well, during the time that we have here, which, you know, I could talk on and on about this, but I'm going to help you fix this one thing. And so after you hear them, make a note for yourself to not solve anything until a certain point of the conversation, and then retrospectively identify one thing that you're going to illuminate for them. So hold yourself accountable to listening, holding back to, okay, I'm just going to listen. I'm going to ask and listen. And then at this point, I'm going to choose one thing to provide them a little insight around. And it just sets up this framework for yourself. It's more, you know, of a guardrail or a structure that you can still feel like you're giving and making a difference and honoring who you are as a coach, but yet you're staying true to the fact that, okay, I'm going to only solve or help them with this one thing. And then you can illuminate that. Well, there's so much more here that we didn't get to. And then you build that, you know, that gap or that, you know, what they still don't know or what they still don't have. And it comes from more of a place of authenticity.
I love that. And it's so important to remember. And I know I tell myself to remember this every call, that the biggest gift that I can give someone that I'm meeting with is the gift of having them make the choice of taking the work deeper.
Right. Yeah.
And if I give them too much and I fill them up too much, then they're in overwhelm, then they're not going to take that next step.
Right.
And they're not going to get the value of my experience.
Yes.
When I remind myself of that, it just makes it a lot easier.
Yeah. So that's part of your pre-flight checklist.
Yeah.
As a headline, too much now is not enough later.
Yes.
Yeah. So that you fight that tendency. But again, just having that pre-flight checklist, like I said, a pilot who is seasoned, has done it, you know, flown countless planes, still has that checklist. So it's what we need, right? To kind of keep the perspective correct so that we can have that bigger impact on this entrepreneur who's probably headed towards a cliff and you want to save them, right?
Right.
So, and speaking of new entrepreneurs, you know, we're still in this pandemic, which I would like to think that we're well on our way, almost out of it, but who knows? It's caused a huge shift for a lot of employers out there. And there have been a lot of new entrepreneurs, you know, because of the pandemic. They've either gotten furloughed or they've proactively taken, you know, early retirement or a variety of different things to maybe live their bucket list now. Can you talk a little bit about how the pandemic has impacted the work that you do?
Absolutely. Now, I was fortunate because, as I shared 3 years ago, I'd made the decision to go pretty much 100% virtual. So I didn't have to pivot around being online, like so many entrepreneurs did. So a lot of people that were doing live speaking or training or that kind of thing had to pivot right away, right?
Right.
So for me, how I ran my business was not necessarily much of a shift. What the big shift was for me is the pandemic, I think, had me see what was really important to me. And in fact, I simplified my life. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's all that uncommon from the people that I've talked to,
right.
But I have really been able to see what are the things that I really want to do? How do I really want my life to look now and when the pandemic, you know, changes things that I can get back to traveling? And how do I want the work that I want to do in the world to actually show up with the clients that I work with?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so I've actually, I've narrowed the number of offers that I have available, the number of ways that I'm serving my clients. I really allowed myself to realize that while it was, you know, all well and good to want these big group programs and membership programs and things like that, when I'm happiest, I'm working one-on-one with clients, going deep and satisfying my need for that personal connection, really helping them to build a customized plan for them to have their business become that reality.
Right.
And so I've actually stepped back on the number of things that I'm offering my clients. That's really been the biggest change for me personally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, it's walking your talk. You know, you are proactively redesigning and continuing to align the business that you love to do, the work that you love to do, in a way that supports who you are and how you can flourish. So yeah, I love that. And, you know, it's interesting to me, you know, that your focus is on these entrepreneurs early in their business building phase, which is really that tricky part. Those first, you know, 2 or 3 years mm-hmm. is so difficult for people. In fact, you know, I'm just curious, how do you work with professional women who have taken the leap and they're trying, you know, to build that successful business, but they're finding it's, well, way more difficult than they thought. Can you share a little about your philosophy or your approach?
Absolutely. I call it the business of running a business. And I tell you, it really knocks so many people down right in their tracks, stops them in their tracks. And if I can help these women that have a huge gift to share, be able to turn that gift into a business that allows them not only to support their families and live the lifestyle they want, but make a difference with people that they were meant to impact, then obviously that makes me a happy camper. Mm-hmm. So as I mentioned, I am choosing right now to work primarily one-on-one with my clients. And I use an approach I call the Freedom Finder Formula. It's a 5-step system to go from creating your vision for your business all the way to your first 6 figures, basically. And creating that along the way, getting clarity, of course, on your vision and your foundation for your business, the basics, if you will, and finding those right customized marketing strategies for you and implementing them to get your first clients and create that automated lead generation system. Because at the end of the day, it's all what we want. We want clients, right?
Right.
And it comes back to where you started. It's helping people turn their vision into their reality. I love it. And my clients are amazing. I have all kinds of different clients that are up to big things. And that's what lights me up.
Right. Yeah. Oh, I love that. And just that clarity around the, you know, how you help people is so important. I love the, you know, Freedom Finder formula. It's like, who doesn't want that, right? five steps to
freedom is my biggest value, and certainly for most of my clients.
Yeah, that's I love that. You're you're aligning with the things that bring you that vitality and passion and allows you to serve your ideal clients in a bigger way. So yeah, that's fantastic. Well, how can listeners reach you if they're interested in learning more about working with you?
Yeah, they can go to my Facebook group. I have a fairly new Facebook group, so I'd love to have you join that. It's Rapid Results Club. So you can just go to facebook.com/groups/Rapid Results Club and join me in the group. We have all kinds of fun stuff going on and going to be adding more and more over time. And I'm also, I love talking to entrepreneurs. We just talked about that. So if you'd love to connect with me directly, you can go to connectwithsherry.com and schedule a call. Let's talk. And it's Sherry, S-H-E-R-R-I, by the way.
Okay, perfect. Connectwithsherry.com. Okay, S-H-E-R-R-I. And then the Facebook group, Rapid Result Club. So
correct.
And is that, that's a private group, so they would ask, request to join?
It is okay. A private group.
Yes. All right, perfect. Fantastic. Well, Sherry, you've already shared so many golden nuggets of wisdom here through our conversation. But if I could tap on you one last time, in looking at your own experience in building your business, what's some advice that you can share with a frustrated entrepreneur who's questioning their decision to have started their own business, or they're doubting their ability to succeed? And, you know, I think this question is pretty much like, that's the work you do, right? So if there's one other little golden nugget of wisdom that you can share, that would be great.
It all comes back to, you have a gift. And you talked about zone of genius. Mm-hmm. Now that's, I call it your gift. And the world deserves to have your gift. And don't let the stuff that you get to do as an entrepreneur, the overwhelm, the, you know, all that, the business of running a business, as I said earlier, stop you from sharing that gift. Get support. There's so many ways that you can get support out there for that business side. And the fact of the matter is, most of your listeners are not, you know, meant to be accountants or bookkeepers or building opt-in pages or writing emails. That's not why you started your business. So get support for that stuff so that you can truly share your gift with the world and make a difference.
Mm, yeah, that's great. I love that. Just honoring the fact that, you know, we are enough and what we have is a gift. Yeah, that's pretty much, you know, one of those core beliefs that I have. So I love the synchronicity. So fantastic. Well, thank you for sharing that. That is powerful and inspirational, no doubt. So, and, you know, Sherry, it's just been so great hearing about your journey from, you know, a very successful career in corporate, my gosh, a VP, right? You're at executive level in a thriving career, but yet that pull, that there's something more, I'm not really happy here, even though I'm quote unquote successful. And you finally received that prompt, you know, and that pathway appeared and you took the leap and are now providing this incredibly impactful work where you're helping service-based women entrepreneurs to build their business, their simple, profitable businesses, while designing businesses that allows them to work when they want, from where they want, and with clients they love. So I really enjoyed our conversation. I want to thank you so much for being a guest on my show today.
Oh, thank you too, Wendy. It was a pleasure.
Yeah. And again, for our listeners, you can reach Sherry Kaufelt through her Facebook group, and that is Rapid Result Club, or reach out to her at connectwithsherry.com. And that's S-H-E-R-R-I, connectwithsherry.com. And request a conversation, talk about how she might be able to support you in building your business. So, all right. And for all our listeners, remember, when it comes to building a business that brings you joy and has an endless flow of high paying clients, well, don't overlook the power of the optimized sales conversation, where you've triggered all four psychological states needed for your prospective clients to feel confident and excited about saying, yeah, this sounds great. What's next? So are you 100% confident that your sales conversations are optimized? Well, if you're curious, reach out to me and apply for a sales blind spot coaching session. You may be surprised by what we discover. All right. Well, this is Wendy Vaughn, Chief Paradigm Shifter and Sales Success Coach. And you can find me and our next podcast episode at predictablesalesresults.com. All right. Well, thank you for tuning in to today's episode with Sherry Kaufelt. And as always, here's to your success.